Can you believe this? We're back again, you and me.
Man, can you believe it? Three rack and stack in a row there, Randy.
We did. And if my memory's correct, I think next week we're going to do three or four more, I think.
Yeah, we've got a lion's share of the summer already booked. And, you know, we have got just some absolute powerhouse guests. You know, Keith being one of the people today. We've had conversations with Ben Gay this morning, not as a guest, although he's been a guest four times and will be, you know, five next week. But, you know, we were lucky enough to have Don Green from Napoleon Hill Foundation today, and just industry leaders. And I mean, it's just been a whirlwind, Randy, and we're blessed beyond words.
We are. And you know, the beauty of this is we just get to continually, we talk about it a lot, but we actually are living the do what we love, right? I mean, it's don't get any better.
There isn't anything better than the connections, you know, that you build, because at the end of the day, it's all you got.
It is all you have. It is all you have. And it's all I have when I eat with you, because you take all my quesadillas. You knew I was going to. You don't give me an opening.
I know.
You should not do that. I'm waiting for it by every moment.
That's all good. And I think the audience waits for it at this point.
Well, they do. That's because that was wrong. It was just wrong. And you know what the wrong part was? And I'll say it again. Is I learned something from that. I don't ask you anymore.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, I'm going to tell you the same answer every time. You turn the fat guy, and you're gonna get exactly what you got.
Exactly. Yeah. But like I told you, there's two things I want to ask, right? Cake or pie or anything. You want the last piece? No. I'm not asking. I'm taking. And if there's just like that much left in the bottle of Dr. Pepper, I'm not asking.
Well, see, you are always looking at it as the glass half empty. I look at it as the glass half full, Randy. I only took your quesadilla. I didn't bite your hand.
Fair enough.
You know, you got it around my mouth a couple times. You know,
so, I was trying to hold on.
We gotta look at the silver linings here.
Yeah, that's true. See, okay, you're correct. You are spot on. Well done. All right. Well, I sure nobody wants to listen to you and I anymore. So
let's get
somebody to know something.
All right.
Let's do it.
Welcome to Building Wins Live with host, the hybrid road warrior himself, Randy Chafee, and producer-director, Wes Wyatt.
Whether we're talking about sales, marketing, tech, or industry news, we want to bring you the best tips, tricks, and info to build wins.
Now, let's get to the show.
Hey, there we are.
Hey, we made it.
We made it. All through all that, we're still here. That's amazing. Technology, huh?
I'm not going anywhere, Andy.
Well, I know that. I saw the seatbelt. You're strapped in and ready to go, buddy.
I think I'm ready for anything, but we'll find out.
We'll find out in a minute. So folks, this is Keith Deason, and CEO and owner. I mean, like King Poobah Big Shot of Smart Build Systems and International Steel Framing. I think I got that right.
Well, also chief bill payer is what I.
Oh, that's important too. Reading.
Yep,
that's okay too. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Checks in the mail kind of guy, right?
Every day.
Yeah, just hope that there's more checks in the mail to you than they are going out, and then life is good, right?
That's the idea. Been fighting that battle for 45 years.
Yeah, exactly. It's the ongoing battle. But hey, thanks for being on. You know, we chatted the other day for a while, and we go back quite a few years, and we chatted at a trade show. We're both in the same industry, the metal roofing, the general metal roofing industry, I guess I'll say, in post-frame building industry. And we probably maybe lost touch a little bit over the years just because busy and everything else. But I'm just really glad we reconnected, because networking is so important and so vital.
It is, Randy. And I want to start out by saying, hey, thank you very much for having me on. It's always a pleasure talking with you. It's always entertaining, too.
Wow, but, entertaining. People have said other words besides entertaining, but we'll go with that one. I like that.
No, but you're right. We've been in this industry. We entered it about post-frame is how we started. And that was about 7 years ago. And, you know, I just, you know, owning my own business for a lot of years, you know, I learned a long time ago. I mean, it's just so important to connect with people. And that's one of the first things I did was network. I went around and visited with the executive director of the NFBA. I, I visited with a prominent engineer in the industry. I drove up to Madison. I met you at a trade show, and just establishing those relationships are just so important no matter what you do. And so, yeah, I do it as much as possible. And again, I appreciate the opportunity to be here and visit with your listeners today.
Yeah, well, and we appreciate you. And I can never talk enough about the value of networking. And, you know, and I come from, as you know, the old school for the past, I like to use, but it's fact, 4+ decades in this crazy industry, and a good 4+ decades. And I love the old school way of doing things, right? The travel and the bro hugging and the kissing babies and mm-hmm. you know, the coffee and donuts and the pizza lunches and all that stuff. And I still do a lot of that. Love travel. But the biggest part is we've been able to take technology, especially over the last mm-hmm. few years. We really learned to use technology. There's a segue to this. It's just not a Randy rant. To better ourselves, to better our positions, and to make life easier, but also better and more productive, right? And that's the one thing that I've learned over the last few years, doing some of the things I do. And that's really a good segue into what you do, because your system, the Smart Build system, is state of the art technology for the building, post frame building. I think you do metal buildings too, obviously, I think, with your program, mm-hmm.
That's correct. Yep.
So, mm-hmm. so tell us about that, because people can't be afraid of technology. They can't be afraid of using this stuff. They can't be afraid of diving in, right? So I'm going to just, I know this will be hard to believe. Wes is laughing when I say this, but I'm going to try to be quiet now and listen to you tell us about what you do.
Well, no, you're right. We're a technology company. But, you know, the interesting thing, though, before I dive into that, though, is what you said is so true. And what anybody who's been in business learns that you know, business is all about people. Right. No matter what you do. And we've developed some great technology. We're a technology company, but it always comes back to that, Randy. The people that make up our company, we're a small company. We got involved about 7 years ago in PostFrame. We started out with a 6-person team. The parent company, Keymark, has been around since 1975. And, you know, so we've always developed software. We got to be pretty large. We were an 80-person company at one time. And, we downsized when we got into PostFrame. It was a 6-person company, and we've grown to 18 people. But from our end, it's that people that make up the team that are mission critical, and that's so important. But then the people that we form relationships inside the industry with have just been mission critical to getting us where we need to go, and so that's been so important. But anyway, so we did. Yeah, you're right. We started out. 7 years ago in PostFrame, we had heard that the PostFrame industry was really in need of software technology. There wasn't a really good solution. And so being an entrepreneur, I decided I got to check this out, right? There might be potential. So so I put on my driving shoes and I traveled across the country. And visited with some big name players. Some people recognize them. QSI was one in Kansas. Burroughs Post Frame Supply, Graber Post Buildings, A.B. Martin. And I heard the same theme resounding. And that was that there were a couple of rudimentary software programs. But by and large, and I think most of your listeners will be able to identify with this, for the most part, what a post frame contractor did, if they had a bit of job, is they would sit down and do a takeoff by hand. Mm-hmm. And the people in this industry are pretty smart. They're pretty street smart. And they figured out a long time ago that you could do things like do square foot pricing, but that is dangerous enough and inaccurate enough that it's a quick recipe for going bankrupt.
Right.
So people made the decision that, yeah, we just got to do this, got to roll up our shirt sleeves. And the result was that it took on average a little bit of, and we get a lot of feedback. I've talked to hundreds and hundreds, if not 1,000 contractors. And the average time it took them to do a takeoff was over 3.5 hours.
Wow.
Right. And because it took 3.5 hours and they had a backlog, you know, they would have a backlog usually of anywhere from a week to 3 weeks. As you know, this industry has been incredibly busy for three years nonstop. And so that was a typical life for a contractor. And so when they got a lead, somebody called them up, said, I want a building. They'd interview that client. And then the unfortunate response from the contractor would be, look, I'm going to get you a bid, but it's going to take anywhere from 1 to 3 weeks. Okay. So we saw the potential. And the interesting thing in PostFrame is because of the limited architecture, you know, I came from the mainstream residential industry where you build a custom home, as I'm sure you know, it can look like anything. You can cut it up, have angled framing. Well, with PostFrame, the thing that was so attractive to me as a software developer was that the architecture was limited enough and simple enough that what I believe is that we would be able to write a software program that would be easy enough to use that anybody who is a contractor or even a salesperson would be able to run it, right? Mm-hmm. And because the architecture was simple enough, it would be easy, well, not easy, doable to be able to write a program that could accurately specify all the materials, okay? So that was 7 years ago. And after doing that investigative work, I decided, hey, I think we can make this happen. And I was pretty excited about it. So we started out with a 6-person team. We worked very closely with several significant players. Graber Post Buildings was the primary one. We wrote a contract with them. We went to work. We did, and you know, the secret ingredient to success, I find, always includes elbow grease, Randy. Right. So that was really what it took. We knew how to write software. So with their help, them guiding us and other good friends in the industry, we worked for 2 solid years before we generated a single dollar of revenue, right? And that was the Bank of Keith. But anyway, long story, a little bit shorter, fast forward, we've just, the elbow grease, you know, in the it being applied by people who knew what they're doing in software development is our formula. If there's a secret sauce, it's just that. We listen to our customers. We have a team that was initially a four-person team doing development. Today, that's grown to 12 people. And we're what we call an agile software development company. We come out with a software release, used to be once every 2 weeks. But as our team has gotten larger and the program has become more complicated, requires more testing, now we're out about once every 4 weeks with a release.
Okay.
So the program just keeps getting more and more powerful, and we can specify things, much more complicated buildings, right? Yep. So the result, you know, when we fast forward to today, we have 800 plus licensees. You know, for we can design an unlimited number of attached buildings. So H configurations, I configurations, L and T wings, with any number of lean-to sheds, porches, wraparound porches, windows and doors placed wherever you want. And so it still takes only about 20 minutes for someone to sit down live with a client. They can do a design, and that client can walk away with a rock-solid proposal with a number that's guaranteed. So it, what I'm really happy to say, and I'm very, very gratified, Randy. I mean, I'm a pretty old guy. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm 72 right now. But this effort that our team has put in over the last 7 years is easily the best software my company's ever written. And, you know, where we stand in this industry relative to where we've been in the past, this is the most gratifying effort that that I've ever experienced.
Well, that's so awesome.
It's been a fun and interesting ride, and I've really enjoyed the PostFrame industry. I love the people; they're really down to earth, they're honest, they're God fearing. It's just a good place to be.
Oh, it is! It's a great place to be. And you know, I love the way you went about this. You took the time, one, but secondarily, you went to the people that were in the industry that knew what they needed, that are going to operate this system every day, and so many times, whether it's in technology or in any other product that that any of us may come out with, many times it's maybe more normal than it should be for a manufacturer or a software support, whatever the case may be, to, well, this is what we developed, and we're going to kind of try to convince you or jam this down your throat that you need to buy this the way we developed it, right? And I love the way you went to market with research, talking to people, and talking to the names that you just talked out earlier, all names that anybody that watches this that's in the PostFrame metal roofing world will know every one of those names. You can't live in this industry and not know those names. I mean, every one of those, I know people there personally. So it's important, and I think that a great lesson for anybody that's going to do any developing of any new products or anything in the future, man, you got to go grassroots with this stuff, right? And it's not like the old way of build a better mousetrap and they'll come. You know, you better ask them what they want, or do you even want a mousetrap, right? And build it the way they want it. And I applaud you for taking that good approach.
That's a great observation, Randy. Like I said, I've been developing software since 1975, and there are stories everywhere about these massive failures, right? Where people weren't just like the Edsel for Ford Motor Company, right? Mm-hmm. But a bunch of designers sitting in a room, they come up with a brilliant idea, and you find out that, hey, it might have been great to the people in this room, but you get it out in the real world, and it's just not there. So, you know, I learned that from the many, many years of doing this. And the other thing is, although we've been in construction forever, we didn't know post frame is highly nuanced. You know, there's just a lot of things that happen mm-hmm. in post frame that don't happen in the other residential construction world. So we were lucky enough to work with some really, really great people. And that's what we did from day one is in software development, they call them subject matter experts. But in other words, it's just, hey, someone who knows the business. So for the most part, what we did is we just listened. In fact, I'll tell you what we did. The structure was really interesting. First, the people I mentioned who we met with, they were using other software at the time, but they just weren't satisfied. So they were hungry for a solution. They were really hungry for a solution. And I saw that there was a need. And so we were anxious to develop it. And we knew what we didn't know, right? We were consciously incompetent.
Okay.
So we knew what we didn't know. And so the deal we cut with them was, look, guys, we'll give you what you want. In one case, we actually had a written contract. But with the rest of the companies, we just said, look, let's do this. We'll schedule a regular weekly meeting. So we had like four or five meetings with individual companies, at least 1 hour. And we did it every single week for 2 years. And with one company, I think we went more like 4 years.
Wow.
So it was just constant feedback. And the software development technique we use, there's a name for it. It's called Agile, which simply means versus in the old days, they used to write, you know, like IBM, when they wrote the IBM 360 operating system, they put 100 engineers in a room. They wrote a book on what it was supposed to look like. And they said, hey, we'll see you in 2 years. And that's where a lot of the catastrophes, like the one you referred to, you know, can happen. But Agile, you're coming out with releases very quickly. And you're always touching the customer. You're getting immediate feedback. And so you modify what you've done and you just keep that cycle going. And that's why we have these very quick releases. And I like to think that we still listen to the customer. The customers are easily our primary driver. Mm-hmm. And just to bring it up to date, you know, right now, and you and I talked about this in our last conversation, listening to our customers, what they're all saying is, hey, barn dominiums, barn dominiums, barn dominiums. We are, and here's the interesting thing. They're not selling barn dominiums to the end user buyer. The end users are calling our customers saying, hey, I want to build a barn dominium. So it's kind of a pull through. The end user consumers have been taught that you can build these really neat buildings with wide open spaces and a lot of flexibility about what it costs and what you get on the initial building that you purchase. So there's a lot that's very attractive about it. And they've been asking our customers. So as a consequence, I'm telling you that over 95% of our customers want to see barn dominiums. And that's our number. And so we like to listen to the customer. That's what mm-hmm. we do. And that's our number one priority right now. And our customer base knows it. So we're working very hard on adding the ability in our software to do floor plan layouts on the interiors of post-frame structures, even two levels of construction. So our team is hard to work at on that. And we're going to have multiple releases. And hopefully by the end of summer, early fall, we're going to have a good production tool for that.
Oh, that's awesome. You must have read my note because that's what I was just making a note as you're talking is barn dos. So you got ahead of me. So that's great. I think that is probably the fastest growing segment of our industry right now, right? I mean, it's everybody wants to talk about barn dos right now.
Well, it is such a reality. The demand is there. And consider this, you know, there aren't really good metrics about this stuff. And maybe you can add in 2 cents. But if you ask somebody, what is the size of the post frame market right now? You know, I don't know. My guesstimate now is, and I know when I talked to the executive director, when I first got in the industry 7 years ago, you know, the estimate was something like $10 billion a year. You know, I think if you're to hazard a guess, I mean, I'd got to think we're maybe north of $15 billion a year.
That would be my guess. I would think that's accurate.
Something like that. But consider this, and I've had a lot of conversations with our customers about it. So with this demand for barn dominiums, I mean, I don't know that anybody really knows how far this can go. But if we, the industry, could convert, let's say 5% of the conventional construction, we would probably double the size of the post-frame industry.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's exciting. That, and yeah, and think about it just from a business modeling aspect. You know, everybody's in a competitive business, right? And post-frame is no different. But if you took the current capacity, right, the biggest problem most contractors have, I'd like to say it's a lack of good software, and that's a big one. But let's face it, good labor, getting more labor is the number one on every contractor's list. They just can't find more labor. So if you doubled the demand for post-frame construction, you know, given the infrastructure of supply companies we have and contracting companies, think about what that does for not just potential revenue, but for potential profitability for the companies that are in this business right now. So it's very exciting when you think about that. And so we want to play that key role of getting a tool we can put in our customers' hands. Because when I talk to them now, Randy, if for them to do a takeoff and to get a price for a customer, this is the thing that people don't like. There's so much detail.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's so much detail because now you're laying out a complete living space. And before, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, or even on some projects right now, it's a box. Right. Well, that makes it pretty easy. And with our software, even if you have an L wing and a T wing and a lot of other stuff going on, it's still pretty easy. But now you're talking about a barn dominium and you've got a couple thousand square feet of interior living space with all kinds of cut up walls and everything else. So I talk to a lot of contractors who say, I'll spend a full day, you know, getting a takeoff. And the frustration with this, because with barn dominiums, you're dealing with end user home buyers, right? And it's a husband and wife, which means you know that there are going to be changes.
Oh, exactly.
All the time. So how do you then get those changes, go back and revise that takeoff and get it turned around? So anyway, I think, you know, once if we can get Smart Build where it needs to be, it's going to change that equation pretty dramatically. And people will be able to get that takeoff a lot more quickly. And equally important, just to accommodate changes, going in and doing an edit inside the software and turning around an updated price very, very quickly. So, I mean, that, yes, that's, I think you may have asked me, you know, or what, or I did a different interview recently, and that was a question is what are the most significant changes coming up? And I think right now this is it.
Yes.
I think the whole, you know, for that affects the whole industry.
Oh, I agree. And you're right. You think about for the contractors listening, you think about that, or the supply house, the lumber yards, or the metal roll forming company, or whoever supplying the post frame package, the amount of time, like you said, is one thing, but then, you know, there's changes on a typical backyard building. Well, let me add a porch. Maybe I should put a cupola. Maybe I don't want, maybe I want transom windows. Maybe I want sky there. That's one thing, but I can only imagine on a barn dominium, it could be hundreds sometimes, you know, when you get a husband and wife sitting there, well, I don't want that, but I want this. Well, cool. What about this? Can we do that? And if you're figuring all that by hand, I'm not saying you got to go back to zero, but you're going way back from where you were. And that's a whole lot more time, not only that you don't have, right, that you could be doing something else, but it's that much longer before you get to the close the sale and sign this contract and get started and start ordering materials and start scheduling, right? So it can, I feel like it can speed that whole process up and get rid of, I think the other thing, and let's talk about this, with your system, has got to put the contractor in a much better position that when he finally leaves the customer's dining room table one evening, they've signed some contracts, there should be very little question about what's going to be built, right? Versus the old way is there's always so much room for, well, that's not what I thought you said. That was not what I envisioned it to look like. Well, they're showing you what it's going to look like, and you get to sign off on that, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you if you go back to the other building process in the let's say the broad mainstream residential, you're building custom home where anything goes. Mm-hmm. When you take a look, I mean, so I'm sure some of your listeners have done that. You know, they get their dream home. They want to build a 5,000 square foot custom home, what have you, right?
Right.
And you think about what does it take to say, here's my idea, here's what I want. Now I'm going to go to an architect, right? And if I go through this whole cycle, the architect's going to spend a lot of time just saying, what does it even look like, right? Mm-hmm. But when do you get certain? When do you get a complete material list, a guaranteed cost? When you go through the cycle, Randy, that's a 6-month cycle.
Sure. Right?
And if you've ever done it, because you're going to go, mm-hmm. you're going to go back and forth and back and forth with the architect. If you have to get structural engineering, you'll wait until you're 75% complete on those drawings. Then you go to an engineer, right?
Right.
And the engineer has to go through his whole thing before it can go out to a lumber yard and a truss manufacturer and n number of other suppliers. So to go through that whole cycle, you don't really get a solid number for sometimes 6 months if you're doing a custom home design from scratch. So the whole industry talked for a long time about this concept called BIM, right? And you've heard of that, right? Mm-hmm. Building Information Modeling, BIM. And that's been promised for like 30 or 40 years. You know, somebody's going to write a super program where an architect can sit down and build this 3D model and everything will automatically be generated off that one data model. And that's been talked about forever. In the commercial world, there's a program called Revit that is used. And for the federal government, they mandate the use of BIM. So that's become a little bit closer to reality. But when you look in the residential industry, that custom home I just mentioned, that is not the way it happens. You know, an architect will usually use CAD. An engineer will completely duplicate a description to figure out his loads, design his members. And then each subcontractor, the drywall contractor, the painter, the framer, the lumberyard, the truss manufacturer will use tools. Anyway, I'm digressing pretty long, but there's an important point. And you made that point, right? When that contractor is sitting down with someone who wants a barn dominium, how do you capture that design and how do you accurately, you know, get all those materials so that there's a guarantee for that buyer? Well, with Smart Build, what we're doing, ironically, in the post frame world, you know, people look at the size and you would think there'd be great sophistication in the broad mainstream, you know, Pulte homes, Lennar homes, mm-hmm. but that's, I just described the way they do things. But ironically now, with the average contractor in post frame equipped with Smart Build, they will be able to out sophisticate, if you will, the broad mainstream residential community, because now they can sit down and that's real BIM.
Right.
They'll be able to sit down with a husband and wife, lay out that floor plan, and there's going to be back and forth, but I mean in an hour or a couple of hours, they're going to be able to walk away with a set of drawings that describes their floor plan, that building, and a guaranteed price. And so hooray for post frame, you know, that cycle, that 6 month cycle can be collapsed down to a very, very short period of time.
Right.
And exactly. And that's, yeah, that, which is yeah, great for post frame.
It's great. Exactly. Exactly. So, well, that's pretty exciting. So, you know, it was funny. You talked about how, giving people what they want as opposed to what we want to give them. And that reminds me of a little story, and I think it fits is, well, but that's not what I want, but that's what we do. But I gave you twice as many. But and my point of all that is I use pizza, for example. But we got twice as much pepperoni on our pizza. There's only one problem. I don't like pepperoni. Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's not a plus to me. And
right. And
that's the way we used to sell back in the old days because we had no sophistication. We didn't have these tools. Mm-hmm. We didn't have these things. Right. So I think there was a tendency for suppliers and whatever aspect they were in the process to force the consumer, the end buyer, the end user, I should say, to take what it is we have. But I don't want what you have. And I think in today, the sophisticated buyer, competition, everything else, if I don't like pepperoni, but I want three slices and they'll give me three slices, then I'm going to buy it from them because I have an option, right? So you're opening up that option to so many people to get more sophisticated because let's face it, the post-frame builder or buyer, I should say, is way more sophisticated than they used to be. The buildings are way more than they used to be. You and I are at an age where we remember Oldsmobiles, right? And they used to have an ad. It's not your daddy's Oldsmobile or something along that line because they wanted to. And I think it's the same thing in a post-frame building. It's not a typical, most are not a typical no overhang, galvanized roof, painted walls, one door, two windows, and a slide door in the end, right? There are those. But the majority of them are fancied up, right? They're prettied up. They want all these things. And if you aren't able to give that to them as a contractor or as the supplier working with the contractor, in a way that they can see it and understand it and believe it, they're going to go to the guy that uses a smart build that can do that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, well, you've brought up a bunch of different concepts there. I make this observation, Randy. So when I decided to start out in this industry, my team did, you know, the hooray for us part was just being smart enough to look at the industry and recognize, hey, there's a basic need, right? When a contractor's got to sit down, spend 3.5 hours doing a takeoff, and I know we can write a program, that was our spark of brilliance, if you will. Mm-hmm. But you know, growing to where we are right now, and I have this repeat conversation with my customers, and that it, and the question is, hey, if you think we should be doing anything different from what we're doing, let me know. Right. But other than that, I mean, it is customer driven. It's customer listening. And so what we do whenever we do one of these releases, we do one about once a month. We get consensus from our customers. We log all of the requests in our JIRA system. We have a couple thousand of them, and we go by consensus. And that's how we decide what we're going to put in the next release. So this is very, very much about what you alluded to at the start of this conversation, listening to the customer, not going into the ivory tower and coming out with something nobody ever thought of. No, it's very much customer driven. And as far as I'm concerned, that is our special sauce, is just doing that. Keep on listening to what the customer wants, make the modifications that they're asking. And that's what our commitment is to our customer base. Now, having said that, the interesting thing, though, about technology, and to your listeners, some who might be a little afraid of it or reluctant, mm-hmm. but first of all, you're right. I mean, I can't imagine. Can you imagine thinking going forward 5 years from now, which contractor is going to win?
Right.
Right. The one who responds to his customer by saying, hey, thanks very much for your inquiry. I'll get back to you with a bid in 2 weeks. Or is it going to be the contractor who says, hey, are you busy this afternoon? I'm going to send you a link. We'll hop on together on the internet. I'll design this building for you. Now we can do what ifs, right? We can try that shed on the side. If it's too expensive, we can shorten up the building span. You know, we can change the color scheme. And when we're done, you got it just the way you want. I push a button, I put a whole package into your hands. Which contractor is going to win, Randy?
Exactly. I mean,
it's a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer. Exactly.
But the threat on the other thing, but here's the other thing too, is that I think after a while, the technology itself becomes a change agent, right? Mm-hmm. Because after a while you go, wow, now I can do things that I never thought about doing before. So I think the technology over time changes the landscape to the point that you'll see us doing different things going down the road that we probably didn't think of 5 years ago, right?
Exactly.
So there's always that element of it too.
Sure.
You know, who would have thought 10 years ago we would all be walking around with one of these things, right?
Oh, exactly. So exactly.
People like you and me know what a Thompson roadmap book is, and that's in the Museum of Science and Industry today.
Exactly.
Right now, you just tell it where you want to go, and you go. And nobody would have thought that. So that wasn't really so much customer driven, but some very smart guys figure that stuff out.
Well, I remember, that's funny you bring that up, Keith, because I remember I go back far enough that I'd have my Atlas. And I'd have every customer highlighted, every stop, you know, so I could picture, know where I was going to go. And when I'd wear it out, I'd have to set and try to piece it back together and go back through and highlight out every state and do it over and over like a couple times a year, because I'd wear out the Atlas flipping through the pages. And I remember the day I thought I was like, hit the world of high tech, when I printed off MapQuest. So if I'm going to go on this trip this week or next week, let's say, right, and I'm going to see these 14 customers, let's say. Mm-hmm. I would do this map quest and I'd figure out my whole trip, right? And so, and it worked great up until, but okay, I'm going to see this customer, and then I got the next map that takes me from that customer to customer B. Except when customer B couldn't see you all of a sudden until 3 days later, so then you had to go to customer, and now the whole thing didn't work.
Yeah, the whole thing. I did the very same thing. Randy, you and I did the same thing. I remember driving around with those pieces of paper, and holy cow, what a difference now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, excuse me, sir, you can't cancel the appointment because I have it already mapped.
That's right. That's right. I know where I'm going.
But think about it, because I'm thinking about this for an article I'm writing for right now. And you go back to technology, right? And and everybody fears it. I don't think near the now as much as we used to, but you and I still go back to the day, and people in their 20s are going to go, what are you talking about, you ancient fossils? But, you know, you'd pull up to that little thing and saw on the side of the road, and they had this little dial on it, right, or buttons. It was called a payphone, right? Yeah. And you would pull up, and if it was rainy and crappy and icy, I guarantee you the phone cord was that long. Right.
Yep.
And so you're sitting here half out the window, mm-hmm. your hands are iced. Half the time the buttons are froze, so you're beating on it to try to break the ice, trying to look at this call, you know, the phone number and the calling card. I forget which order we did that. You go through this 12-minute ordeal, it seemed like, to get a busy signal. Well, then you start it all over again. And then you finally get the person in, well, they're not there. Can you call back in 10 minutes? Well, you set the payphone and you drive up the road. Well, you can't find a payphone for 40 minutes. By that time, they've been in and out already. So there's all those things that makes me, as a little bit older guy now in this world of what we do, appreciate technology, because I didn't grow up with it. We didn't grow up with technology. Well, we did, I suppose, but not the technology we have today, right? And the things that I can do with this little phone right here and the iPad is, oh my, it's night and day. I don't know how many X it would be. Easier and more functional my life is, 10x, 100x, I don't know, 1000x. It's a lot of x's.
It's amazing how it's changed. In 1980-81, when my company was writing trust software, to do a demonstration and to show a trust manufacturer what our software could do, I would have to package up a 30-pound microcomputer in a box, a televideo monitor in a box, an Oki Data printer in a box, and a Hewlett-Packard 2-pen plotter in a box. And I would have to travel on an airplane and take those four boxes with me and travel to the customer site, set it up, and then do a demonstration. I'm serious.
I believe it.
And now, of course, I mean, everything is so internet-based and viral that somebody calls us up and says, hey, I want to take a look at your software. And I'm in a hurry. And we, yes, sir. Well, let's set something up for this afternoon. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a few hours later, they know what we're all about.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, technology is a blessing, right? If it's managed properly and implemented properly. And it's made such a tremendous difference in a positive way for all of our lives. And for me, that's been, you know, that's put food on the table forever.
Yep,
you know, I just decided way back when. I mean, that was the early days of software. And I took one pass-fail course in college in Fortran, and that was about it. But then I became a friend of mine kind of taught me how to code. And I was so tickled by that I decided that was going to make that my profession.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I've been at it ever since.
And the rest is history. And the post-frame industry is better because of it. So
I hope there's a little more history to come, Randy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think there probably will be. And I know a history is coming. It's coming soon in Des Moines, Iowa. You and I are going to be chatting at the show. You'll be there, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. If not somewhere before. So, yeah. Keith, as we kind of wind down, because you've been very generous with your time, any should ask questions? Did I miss something that you really wanted to bring up that I'm sitting here talking about? Pineapple on pizza. I didn't say pineapple on pizza. I should have, because I like pineapple on pizza.
But so
see, you're a good man. One of Wes and I's good friends, he'll catch some of this show because he's a good buddy of ours. He's in the pizza world and in the pizza liner and bags and stuff. Brilliant dude in that world. But he hates pineapple on pizza, so we bust each other's chops big time. But pepperoni on pizza. If I wouldn't have got off and digressed on the pepperoni, we'd maybe got to these sooner. But what did we miss? Anything?
Well, you know, just a stream of conscience here, a couple of things. So with Smart Build, what's important for a lot of contractors to know is that we do license to them directly. But what's also very important, what we try to do to accommodate the industry and how it works, is we try to connect suppliers with contractors.
Right.
So, and I mentioned Graber Post Buildings. They're the first company we worked with in this industry. And of course, they're a very well-renowned, very capable supplier. Mm-hmm. So the way that we engage the contractor community is we work with suppliers first. We onboard their data structure, which is just natural because they're the guys that own the part numbers. They have all the materials and they know what they're going to put in a truck. So this works best for contractors and suppliers for that matter. When we work with suppliers first, we onboard all of their inventory and their build rules. And then those suppliers can make Smart Build available to contractors. So some contractors may not know that, but actually probably more contractors get software from our suppliers who distribute our software than they do directly from us.
Okay.
And in fact, and that's really great because they can automate their back end functions. So they can place sure. orders by pushing a button. And suppliers can update their pricing to those contractors by pushing a button. That's important. That's important for customers to know. Right. Some of the other things that we're helping to facilitate is this. A lot of we now support all metal buildings. And the reason I bring that up is just this. So, I mean, there's the metal building industry, which is parallel to the wood industry, and mm-hmm. to some extent they compete. But the reason I bring it up is not that. It is this. We're seeing more and more contractors who want to be able to offer both, mm-hmm. right? And for a lot of good business reasons. You know, one is they can get into different segments of the industry, like larger industrial buildings. Sometimes those will be pre-engineered metal buildings. So there are contractors that want to look at that. And vice versa. You know, in fact, I just talked to a contractor in Colorado this morning, and he's been doing pre-engineered metal buildings. And I introduced him to one of our distributors because he wants to get into post-frame structures. He sees the market. And the second thing is that with the volatility in commodity prices, and we've all been hit upside the head over the last 2-3 years with that, we know what that can do. And if it ever gets that cockamamie again, you know, a lot of contractors want to have the ability to go one place or another. If there's a material shortage, right. if there's a price spike, then they can cater to their customers and give them options. So hopefully our software is helping facilitate that because now there's one platform that can specify both. So I think that's an important development. Just get back to the barn dominiums, how important that is. And a lot of the contractors I've spoken to, they all kind of want to go there, but they also, a lot of them have enunciated how painful it is. And it's right. painful because it takes so long to spec everything out and to lay out those floor plans. So there's hope coming. Okay. There's Good. Hope coming from Smart Build.
That's but, awesome.
No, I think those are some of the most important topics that I wanted to touch on. I think we did a pretty good job.
I think so. I think it's right on the edge of brilliance, maybe.
Well, I hope everybody agrees. I hope everybody agrees with you, Randy, as they should.
As they should, because it's the truth. So, Keith, I appreciate you jumping on today and chatting. And this has been some good conversation, and I think a lot of people can, if they don't already deal with you or know who you are, they're silly. But if they don't, they're going to have an understanding that this is the way of the future. And if you're not doing what with this program right now, if you're not using technology, man, you're going to fall behind pretty quick. You just are. And I'm a big believer in that. And I love having you on chatting about this today, my friend.
Hey, I've enjoyed it thoroughly. And again, I thank you for the opportunity, Randy. You're well known in the industry, and I appreciate you inviting me to be on your podcast. Well, it's an honor.
Anytime, my friend, if you ever have any big, gigantic, earth-shattering launch like the Barndo hardware stuff, and I'll jump back on someday and talk about it. Just all you got to do is give me a phone call or a text.
You know I will. I appreciate
That's
it.
That's the deal. All right, my friend. Thank you very much. Make it a great day.
Thanks. Take care. All right. And thanks, everybody. You
bet. Cheers.
Bye.
All right. Keith Dietzen, the CEO and owner of Smart Build Systems. And I've seen this in operation, and folks, it is technologically advanced. This is the real deal. If you're familiar with it, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, get familiar with it. Get a hold of Keith. He's a great guy, and I've known him for years, and you'll enjoy working with this program. So that's it for today. Another great episode of Building Wins Live. We'd love to have you on here. We appreciate you, our audience, whether you watch us here on the vlog, the video podcast version, or if you watch us on Mondays, we release the audio version via, there are a bunch of them, Spotify and Apple and all over the place. So either way, whatever you do, watch them, catch us, listen, enjoy. Give us any ideas. I haven't asked this question in a while, but if there's anybody or any type of person that you would like us to talk to and interview and chat about that you go, geez, I wish they'd talk to somebody about this, let me know. Let us or I know. If you have something to bring to the table that you'd like to chat about, we'd love to do that too. We're always looking for guests. We're blessed to have had some great guests in the past, and we're booked. I think we're into August right now, but we just got them coming every day, every week. So until then, remember, live it, love it, own it. Love what you do and do what you love, and make today your best day ever. Till tomorrow. Let's go. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to Building Wins Live.
You can find information on Randy, Wes, our guests, show notes, and anything related to the podcast at buildingwins.live. On behalf of the whole Building Wins team, don't forget, make today your best day ever. Until tomorrow.